Thank you, Fee, for reading half the New Testament to us today. It's such a great story to hear that I think it was worthwhile listening to the whole recollection of the open grave and what it means to us. I am getting used to having a string around my neck, so new glasses. Bought a string yesterday just to take it down and bring it up again. And I used to see people when I grew up, and they were all old nannies and grandfathers with these little strings, and now I feel like one of them today. So it's this old grey grandfather speaking today. Now, exaggerating on both regards of what I've said, but I think that's part of the message today as well. Is this exaggeration that we're dealing with? That's the question. First of all, if Good Friday is called Good Friday, I think we have the wrong name for Easter Sunday. I think it should be Awesome Sunday or Magnificent Sunday or, yeah, something. I don't know. We did sing about the greatest day in history, so Easter Day just doesn't say all of that. I think it's just an amazing day. It's the day that all of our faith is actually built on and founded on, and we stand on this day. Do you realize that it's because of this Easter Sunday that we actually have worship services every single Sunday? Before this happened, Christians, God's people, came together on the Sabbath, and that was the sixth day of the week. That was the Saturday. And so they finished their week of struggling with their sin, coming to God, asking for forgiveness week after week after week. We now start the week on the first day of the week because of the forgiveness we have received in Christ and because we have a living God, and we celebrate the beginning of the week every single Sunday. It's a great change that we have found because of this awesome Sunday that we are celebrating today. But with the exaggeration, I guess a lot of people would come to us today and ask us, well, aren't we exaggerating just a tiny little bit? How can someone really come alive again? If you're dead, you're dead. If you're buried, you're buried. Can it really be true that someone rose from the grave? A lot of people who don't understand Christianity would come and confront us with this question and this remark. Do we really accept this as part of our faith? The basis of our faith, even. If we don't, Paul actually argues in 1 Corinthians 15 and says, if we don't accept this and don't believe this, he says, you have believed in vain. He adds to this, your faith is then useless. If we don't believe in the resurrection and Christ rising from the grave, then we are here today in a useless faith, and you being here today has absolutely no meaning. Why? Because if you don't believe in that, then you actually follow a God who's dead. And what use is it believing in a Savior who died for our sins, but that God is dead today? There's no use in such a God. And so therefore it's very important that we actually believe and embrace this great fact of the resurrection. Now, the fact that people say today, well, this cannot be science, tell us that someone cannot come alive again, all those arguments, this is not a new thing that happens. In Matthew 27:28, we actually read that there was a lot of resistance against this truth right from the start. So that is what I'll be looking at today very briefly. First, the resistance against this truth, and then the fact that God overcomes that and tells us the truth and shows us the truth. So to look at those two sides of what happened on that day. Now, first of all, the Jewish leaders and the Pharisees, they were all plotting to kill Jesus from the start, and especially in Matthew 26:27, we see a build-up to that, that they were getting their plans together, how they would kill him. And then the crucifixion happens, and they actually did what they were plotting to do. And now was the time for them to consolidate all their plans. They stopped this guy, they killed this heretic, they killed him, and now they would also stop his followers, they would stop his legacy, they would crush this whole thing of Jesus and his followers. So by doing that, they thought they would also stop his resurrection that he talked about. So they went to Pilate on the Sabbath day, the Saturday, and asked for a guard. Now, a guard back then wasn't just a security mall guard. It wasn't one guy. It was 12 soldiers, a group of 12 soldiers who were then asked to guard the gravesite or the tomb. Why did they do that? And so strange, because they were actually the ones that remembered what Jesus said about him rising again on the third day. The disciples seems to have forgotten about that. You would think that they would be waiting before the grave for him to rise again. But they were running around, they were hiding, they were struggling, they didn't know what to do. They were in disarray, while the Pharisees and the religious leaders remembered these words. And so they were thinking, oh, what if this actually happens? What if what Jesus said actually happens? We need to make sure that this doesn't happen. We need to stop this resurrection of sort or whatever he said he would do on the third day. So we'll have a guard placed in front of the tomb. And we'll have that guard also just in case the disciples come in the middle of the night and steal his body and then go out and tell the story that he rose again. If they only knew what the disciples were up to, they weren't plotting to steal a body at all. They were in shambles. They were thinking, oh, what are we going to do? We need to hide. They weren't thinking about stealing a body at all. Yet the Pharisees and the religious leaders went so far as to get this guard of 12 soldiers. And they went with them to the grave or to the tomb. They sealed the tomb, which meant that they probably tied a rope around the rock, placed a bit of wax on the knot with a seal on that, so that whoever tampers with this tomb, with this stone, would be caught. God and his plans will not be stopped by feeble plans as this. Now just think about that. How ridiculous is that? To place 12 men armed with just a sword, and they have the sole purpose of stopping God's intent of bringing life to us and rising from the grave. How do you stop God with that? They didn't even have guns and tasers like modern policemen have. Only but a sword. How would 12 men with a sword stop God? God's almighty. And God's the person who placed the heavens in their place, the sun and the stars. He brought you and I into being. He does so many things every single day. He calls for thunder and it there's thunder. He calls for a storm and it happens. So how would 12 guys stop this great God? It's very funny if you think about that. It's almost like I would ask these young people here today, each armed with a fan, to go and stand on the coastline of Queensland, and as Cyclone Debbie approaches, tell them, well, okay, you guys, wave the cyclone away. It's impossible. You cannot stop God's will. You cannot stop God's plan on this earth. He is almighty, and nothing we want to do or can do will stop that. The women who came to the tomb that morning were witness to God's great work, first of all. We read that they came there, there was this earthquake, they encountered an angel, and they found the tomb to be empty. We read in Matthew 28, verse 5, the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." Wow, what would you do if you encountered an angel in such a way? Can you imagine those ladies going to the grave that morning? Maybe they were thinking about the possibility of what he said that could happen perhaps on the third day. Probably they were more thinking about going to the grave and tending his body, maybe just mourning for his loss once again. But as they get there, there's an earthquake, there's an angel, there's an empty tomb. I'm sure they were scared. I'm sure they were overcome. I'm sure they were excited as well. And so we read that they then ran to share this with the other disciples, and that is when they encounter Jesus himself. And he tells them, first of all, peace to you, he says, and he says, do not be afraid. And the only thing they can do is to fall before his feet and worship him, acknowledging and seeing him as the risen Jesus, a living Saviour. The soldiers did something else. They only encountered the angel, and not encountering God even, but encountering the angel made them fall on the ground and act like dead men and start to tremble out of fear. They were scared to the bone. They saw, along with the women, the open grave, and they knew Jesus wasn't there anymore. Have you ever thought about why the stone rolled away from the grave, or why the grave was open? I used to think that the grave opened so that Jesus could come out. And that's not what Matthew says as well. There was a different meaning to this. The grave actually opened so that we could go in and see that the grave is empty. The fact that the grave, the tomb was open, was witness to the fact that Christ has risen. He's not there anymore. He had received his glorified body. After this, he appeared to his disciples as well behind a closed door. The stone didn't need to roll away for him to rise from the dead. But the fact that the stone rolled away is proof to us that the grave is empty, that he is there no more. And the soldiers could see this, the women could see this, and they all knew Christ had risen. The soldiers ran to the religious leaders once again, told them this story, and they were then bribed to tell a different story so that a lie could bury and hide the truth. Well, to a degree, this worked. Because today even, we are faced with these two choices we have to make, these two decisions that we have to decide on. Do we accept and believe the fact that Christ truly rose from the grave? Or do we doubt that? And do we think that something else maybe happened? There are even Christians today who teach the doctrine that maybe Christ didn't rise physically, but only in spirit. Or the faith in following him was what continued on. A new reformation, they call themselves, kind of trying to find a way for us to accept the fact that maybe he did not rise from the grave. If we believe that, then once again, Paul says, pitiful we are, our faith is useless. We need to accept the fact that Christ truly rose from the grave, because nothing will stop the work of God. God is almighty. If he wanted to rise from the grave, he could, and he did. That's the basis of our faith. If God wanted to be with us as he promised, then he does so by giving us his Holy Spirit to be with us, because we have a living God. We have a living Savior. Christ is alive. We need to accept that. We need to embrace that as a fact. We need to know that a lie would never be able to be more powerful or overcome the truth. The fact that Christ truly rose, which is the truth, will always persevere. You cannot stop that. How do you stop people in believing that? Christianity is growing. People are coming to faith every single day. And the proof of that is the fact that Christ is truly risen. Soldiers may have shared shared the story, the lie of Jesus' body being stolen. Scientists might come to us today and say, well, this cannot, simply cannot be true. We know that Christ rose from the dead. We know that Jesus is alive. And we know that because we are alive. And we have faith. And we have started living eternal life with this living Saviour of ours. All of that because of this day only. Amazing Sunday, magnificent Sunday, call it what you will. But it is a day. What should we call it, John? Super Sunday! I like that. I like that. I think we should put that on Facebook and say that this church believes in Super Sunday. Yeah. We should do that. Putting it on now. Hallelujah! We have a living Christ and Saviour living and talking through the mouth of children. Isn't that great? Let's pray and thank God for that. Heavenly Father, Lord, oh, how fruitless our faith would be if you didn't rise from the grave. But we know that you are alive. We see the proof of that every single day. We know it. We feel it in our hearts. It's the faith we carry, which is much more than a hope. It is knowing. And we have all of that because you are a living God. Because of the fact that you rose from the grave on this day. Lord God, we celebrate this with you. We praise you for this. We humbly bow before you because we know that we do not deserve to be part of this. And yet you plant faith in our hearts that we might believe and have life eternal in you. Glory to you, God, our Saviour. We celebrate this Super Sunday with you today. Amen. We're also here to celebrate the Lord's Supper today and